Our gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 5. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount. And since it is such a familiar passage and just four verses, I want to read it in Eugene Peterson's The Message. Let me tell you why you're here. All right? Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on the hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open houses. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. A little different, but we get the idea, I think. Every once in a while, I'm confronted with a question that stops me in my tracks. I was a freshman in college sharing my Christian faith with a fellow student, a Jew, who, by the way, I'm still in contact with. He posed a question that left me speechless. He said, "It seems to me that your Christian faith is pretty selfish. The whole point seems to be to believe Christian things and do certain things so you go to heaven. It seems to me so self-centered. Get salvation for your soul and let the rest of the world go to hell." That's what he said. Sadly, I didn't have a thing to say. I hadn't yet learned the very deep and important lesson that Jesus shares in our text. Jesus longs for his followers to influence the world around them. He said, "We are salt. We are light." We have been given a very important purpose in this world. First, just a little background. In the 12 verses preceding our text, Jesus described the blessed life. We call them the Beatitudes. If you're poor in spirit, you'll receive the kingdom of God. If you're mournful over your sin, you will know God's blessing. If you are meek, if you are hungry for righteousness, if you're merciful, pure in heart, work for peace, endure persecution, when these qualities characterize your life, you will know God's blessing. And being blessed, you will be a blessing to others because you are salt and you are light. Not you could be, you are. Now, this is one of the most astounding statements Jesus ever made. His disciples must have looked around wondering, who is he talking about? Us? Me? But of course he was talking to them. And the scripture goes on to teach he was talking to us too. What's he saying? He's talking about a very basic issue, an issue that you have an opinion about. Here it is. How are the followers of Jesus supposed to relate to the world around them? How are the followers of Jesus supposed to relate to the world around them? Now, I'm sure you'll agree it's an important question. Before I try and spell out the implications of Jesus' statement, let me make two comments. As I said, verses 3 to 12 in this fifth chapter, the Beatitudes of Matthew, Jesus describes what a Christian is. Repentant, humble, hungry for righteousness, pure in heart, peaceable, long-suffering. And in verses 13 to 16, our text, Jesus speaks of what believers do, how they will influence the world, and what difference their lives can make. The emphasis is first on who we are, second on what we do. Both are important, and the order is important. Who we are, what we do. Christianity is first a state of being before it's a state of doing. Churches often contain many people who attend services Sunday after Sunday, hear sermon after sermon, contribute regularly, yet people who never quite get it together. The Christian life is just beyond their grasp. Could it be that such people are trying to act like Christians act before believing what a Christian must believe? They got the cart before the horse. They try to pray. They try to tithe. They try to speak for Jesus from time to time. They try to make sense out of the Bible. I mean, this is what Christians do, right? But to their frustration, rarely do these actions make much difference to them or to others. I mean, after all, we cannot expect to behave as Christian believers until we believe as Christian believers. Christianity is not a matter of do, do, do. Christianity is a willing reception of what Christ has done, done, done. It starts when in faith we stretch out and receive the gift of forgiveness through Christ. Have you received that gift? It is after we believe in Christ and receive the gift that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to act as Christians act. We need God's power to do that. Without it, a second comment follows. Jesus taught that our Christian presence in the world is exercised at two levels. Now think with me, the action of salt is silent, hidden, unseen. The action of light is open, obvious, sometimes startling. Our influence will be the same, silent and public. Now here's a silly idea. Everyone on my left, you are salt Christians. All right? Your Christian witness will be silent and hidden, behind the scenes, actions only. And everybody on my right, you will be light Christians. Your Christian witness will be outward and vocal. Anyone want to change sides? As silly as it sounds, we often act as though we are one or the other exclusively. Jesus said, "You all are salt, you all are light." Your Christian influence in the world is unassuming and bold, silent and outward, strongly felt from within, demonstrated through actions. Okay, now think for a minute about salt. The main use of salt in Jesus' day was as a preservative. It's especially meaningful to fishermen who had to preserve their product from spoiling. Jesus says the world needs a preservative. The world tends toward decay. The world spoils. Now, some may believe that the world is getting better. Jesus said, don't be fooled. The world is like rotting fish, rotting meat. The world needs positive influence of my followers. The world needs the salt of my disciples. It needs to be rubbed into the fish, dissolved into a recipe, because salt is of no value while it's in the shaker. While in college and seminary, I worked during the summers in a construction crew. I would often hear something like this. Watch your language. The seminary student is here, and he has very delicate ears. When I was in Rotary, I'd hear the same thing. Used to bother me. Now I realize that it's a compliment. They didn't mean it that way. But they were acknowledging the fact that the presence of a Christian makes a difference. Have you noticed that when you're around certain people, it's easy to be good, joyful, honest, respectful? Rubs off. And when you're around others, it's easy to be bad, judgmental, angry, critical. A Christian influence is like salt. It preserves, it rubs off. Now, of course, the second use of salt lends flavor to things. Food without salt, sadly insipid, flat tasting. Jesus is saying, my teaching is to life like salt is to food. Christianity lends flavor to life and so many other things. It's a tragedy that some have connected Christianity with precisely the opposite. Oliver Wendell Holmes once said, I might have entered the ministry if certain clergymen I knew had not looked and acted as so much like undertakers. Real Christian faith preserves, gives flavor. So the presence of a healthy, committed Christian in the community clearly demonstrates purpose and optimism and direction and confidence and brings joy and peace and hope for the future, shares comfort and humility, encouragement, generosity, and loving care. When your saltiness gets out of the shaker, others can't help but taste the difference. What is the effect of light? Well, first and foremost, light is meant to be seen. In fact, you can't keep light a secret. There's no such thing as secret Christianity. Either the secrecy will destroy the Christianity or the Christianity will destroy the secrecy. Your light is visible in a dark world. How you treat others at the restaurant or the grocery store. How you drive and where you park. The language you use, the books you read, the TV you watch, the jokes you laugh at, what makes you angry, how you spend your money. And think about this, lights are used to warn about danger. Lights are used to point the way. Lights bring cheerfulness. And light makes shadows, doesn't it? And light requires a source of energy. One final word. Both salt and light are common things. They're everywhere in our experience. Their significance, their power, is in what things they enable to happen. I mean, no one stares at a light bulb or no one just eats salt. These common things, salt and light, cast a great influence. Now, Jesus didn't say, you are the gold of the earth. But as Paul states in 1 Corinthians, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise, not many influenced or of noble birth. God chose the foolish things in the world, the weak things, the lowly things, the despised things, so that no one can boast. For instance, God chose Noah, who got drunk. Abraham was too old. Jacob was a liar. Joseph was abused. Moses stuttered. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab a prostitute. David had an affair and then committed murder. Elijah was suicidal. Jonah ran from God. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied Jesus. The disciples fell asleep while they were praying. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacchaeus was too small, Paul was too pushy, and Lazarus was dead. God takes the weak and the foolish and the despised, you know, the way we feel about ourselves, and uses them for his glorious purposes. God used Gideon and some cracked pots. Used David and 5 smooth stones. Chose a teenage girl in Nazareth to bring about the salvation of the world. Do you question your influence in the world? Do you consider yourself insufficient rather than influential? You're part of God's plan. God uses common things very well. Salt preserves, salt adds flavor, and salt makes people thirsty. How would Christians relate to the world around them? Jesus said, as salt, silently preserving, adding flavor, making others thirsty. And as light, boldly proclaiming, guiding the way. This is who you are. In order that God may receive glory. As you leave this place this morning, remember, the world around you needs a preservative. And by God's grace, you are salt. The world around you is in the dark, and by God's grace, you are light. Go then and fulfill your God-given purpose. Be who you are. And the radiance of Jesus, the light of the world, will shine within you. Let's pray. Mighty God, what a privilege that you have loaded upon us the weak, those of not noble birth at all. But thank you for using such people in the Old Testament, New Testament, in our past, and in our day. Help us to be who we are by your power for your purpose. We pray in his name. Amen.